Good afternoon, Radio Laurier listeners. Welcome to Talk the Hawk podcast. My name's Thea Bialis, and joining me is Ian Bailey.
All right, it's my first time on the show. Let's see how this goes.
Yes, very exciting. This is my second time.
Yeah, so right. Maybe rough around the edges, but yeah, here we
it'll
go.
It'll be good. So yeah, so today we're basically just going to cover mainly Laurier sports, as there's been some new sports, some sports ending, and as well as the World Cup coming up and the Grey Cup and some UFC, some lacrosse, just kind of all the sports, you know? So we're going to kick it off with hockey.
Yeah, last night, Laurier women was in action, of course, and they're not beat around the bush here. Not doing the greatest this season, pretty weak season so far for women's hockey. Of course, it's the first season for OUA women's hockey to get the full 27 schedule, so that's exciting. But of course, they played 9 games, and they're winless through 9, and they've been shut out the past 3 games. And I was color commentating the game last night, and it's not like they're not getting chances, but they just can't put the puck in the back of the net, which is what you know, it's how you score. Mm-hmm. Is how, you know, the more pucks in the net, the scoreboard goes up. Generally, that's how hockey works, and they have struggled to do that. And they're against Toronto last night, which is the 7th ranked team, not in OUA, but in the country for women's hockey. Mm-hmm. So, of course, if you can't score against the, you know, bottom standings, you're probably not going to score against top of the standings. So, a disappointing result last night, lost 3-0 there. But schedule's getting a bit easier. So we're kind of hoping that they can turn their season around here and try to contend for one of the bottom playoff spots here, because they find themselves with 1 point through 9 games. That's not what you want out of a women's hockey program.
No, exactly. And how are the men doing?
Men doing better. They're around the middle of the pack here. They're 4-5-1 through the first 10 games, around the middle of the pack. And they started off on a pretty bad losing streak, 4 or 5 games in a row. And then they got some momentum, they went on a road trip, went 2-1. And so now they find themselves back in the hunt after, you know, the start of the season didn't look too promising. So we're hoping the women's can do what the men can do. Men started off really poorly, and now they're working away, found a way to score and found, you know, strategies that work for them. Women's haven't found that yet. So maybe it'll, you know, inter-team meeting might get them going here.
How do you think that maybe the women can start to do better? What do you think they have to work on, like defense, offense, or just team camaraderie? Or
I think their defense wasn't too bad. I think their offense, I think there's like, I know, name comes on Grace Sumi, so if you're watching, shout out. She was really driving all the offense last night. But I think their defense, you know, there's an opportunity for some of them to jump in on the rushes. You know, you're using 3-0 last 10 minutes of the third. Just try to get that one. Don't worry about coming back. Just try to get that one. And a lot of their defense didn't take that opportunity to jump in on the rush. So I think, you know, if, you know, just, you got to go like all out, I think, you know, in that type of scenario, it's just go, 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 try to get that one goal. Don't care about the game. You're against Toronto. You're not going to win 3-0 from 3-0 at the end of the third. But just get that one can be huge. And so I think their defense needs to really jump in on the rush and just get, you know, more aggressive around the goalie. You know, start playing a bit dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives them more aggression, yeah. Well, that's too bad about their loss, but like you said, hopefully they'll build that defense. Yeah. But yeah, so it's a kind of a similar story for the women's basketball.
I was going to ask you about basketball, yeah.
Yeah, so right now they have won one game. They won this past weekend against Toronto, but it is 1 win and now 4 losses, as they just lost to Guelph this past Wednesday, but Guelph is the number 9 ranked team in Ontario as well. Like the hockey team's really well there. But it was a tough game. Definitely not. It was a little tough to watch at some points.
Wasn't the prettiest thing in the world?
No, not really. But I if I remember correctly, I think the score was 48-79.
That's a leap of 30 points there.
Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, it was 48-79. And they started off well. They had one lead the whole game.
Hey, that's something.
But it was within the first like 3 minutes.
That's not something.
Yeah, it was 7-2, and then Guelph picked it up, and they had a really good run. They scored like 13 points without Laurier scoring anything. And then by the end of the But after the half, it was just kind of like a blow out of the water. They were ahead. I think their largest lead was like, I mean, they won 30 from 31 points. They won. I think their largest lead was like 40 points.
Yeah, that's what the good teams do. Yeah. That they can just like, even if they start off, you know, like Laurier in Toronto last night, like the first 8 minutes, scoreless. But then in Guelph in basketball, up or lost, losing 2-7. And they can just kind of, you almost see like the click on the bench almost. And they're like, okay, enough fooling around. Time to get to business.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like they knew that they were winning and they were just, let's just rack up the score as much as we can and not give Laurier any opportunity. That's kind of what it felt like towards the end there. And then the last quarter, the refs kind of got like whistle happy and literally everything was a foul. Everything was a call. It was crazy. But the men's game was really good. That was a really entertaining game to watch. Yeah, they've played already. Just like Guelph has played, Laurier played Guelph already as well, like the women's team. But the men, they played last week against Guelph for the first time, and they beat Guelph in a buzzer beater.
Dang.
Yeah, it's from Brown Jeffers. Laurier.
That'd be.
Yeah, in a buzzer beater, 91-92.
Oh, man. Yeah,
it was a really close
game. That's one of those games you just want to see.
Yeah, and then this game was even better. Mm. So after the first half, it was really good. Both teams were playing really well. The defense, like, they were super aggressive. And some crazy dunks from both teams. They were really cool. And then after the half, Guelph kind of started to pick up the pace a lot. And they started to lead on Laurier by quite a bit. And then, like you said, the switch flipped for Laurier. And they're like, it's time to win this. And they came back. I think they were down around like 20 points or something.
Oh, man.
And then they came back. And there's literally 10 seconds left. And Laurier, it's 86-89 for Guelph. So I'm color commentating this. I'm thinking it's going to be a tough one to try to recover from. But then right at the last second, Laurier scored a three-pointer.
Oh.
And it was great. And so then we had to go into overtime. And overtime is like only 5 minutes.
Okay.
So they went into overtime and Laurier did really well in overtime and ended up beating them 102-96.
Oh, that's a good 5 minutes out of them.
Yeah, it was a really, really great game. I'd like to give a shout out to Ben Stevens. If he's listening, he played really well. And yeah, he's like the tallest player on the team, 6'10".
Oh, that's 3 feet taller than me.
And everyone was just passing it right to him. It was great.
It works, right? Right.
Yeah,
you mentioned the whistles there is completely the other case in the Laurier women's game. It was just like there's one penalty call the entire game, and like we'll be watching or something, and the stick will be knocked down with like the most obvious high stick in the world, mm-hmm. and play is like, all right, play will stop. Oh nope, never mind. Play's not stopping. Whistles in the pockets. All right, but I think you know officials in their whistles. I think they can make or break the game, and I think it's really interesting to kind of like think about and discuss. Because I used to be a ref for like ball hockey and hockey and all that, and you no matter what you do, you'd get yelled at, which is fun, because like, oh, that wasn't a penalty, so I won't call it. Well, it should have been a penalty. Oh, it was tripping. It's like, no, shut up. You know?
I can relate to that. I'm currently reffing intramurals, a Laurier dodgeball and water polo.
Oh.
And literally, it feels like every call I make, one team is unhappy, and I'm just... They just got to know, like, I'm the ref.
Yeah, exactly. You know? As a ref, like, you know, like, no matter what call you make, there's going to be a party unhappy. So you just kind of want to make sure the other ref agrees with you. Because if he doesn't agree with it, you're like, all right, I made the wrong call there. As long as he goes, like, all right. Yeah. If you're solo, then that's going to be, like, it's just you.
Yeah.
So there's a stance of, like, not wanting to get in people's way. But also a stance of, like, I'm here to ref, so I'm going to ref. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people forget that it is just intramurals. And, like, it's not even playoffs yet. So, intramurals, it's about to be fun.
I can imagine, like, intramural dodgeball getting, like, way too intense, right?
It does get oddly intense sometimes.
Because it's all, like, you know, 18, 23-year-old, you know, guys and girls just whipping balls at each other.
Exactly. So. It does get pretty
You might
intense.
Get good to watch, though. You might get some good, like, hits in the face
it's
or something
so,
like that.
It's so fun. Yeah. It's so fun. And but oftentimes, like, something will happen. Someone will get hit, and the whole team is saying, no, they weren't hit. They weren't hit. And then the other team is yelling at me, saying that they were. And in those moments, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know? But water polo is not
yeah, I've never, intense. Like, can you explain water polo for me for a real sec? So can you, like, you get... It's like polo, and you try to, it's like handball almost, right? Mm. And like you get the ball and you're like swimming and you just have to stop. Like well, when you get the ball, or can you move with the ball?
Well, for Laurier, intramurals, it's inner tube water polo. So you're in like one of those donut tubes.
Hey, that's
kind of sitting in it. I think it's because they don't want anyone to drown. So I'm not surprised.
That's probably a lot of paperwork.
Mm-hmm. And so you can't ask me anything about real water polo, because honestly,
but intramural Lore water polo, it's inner tubes and it's just like pass around the ball.
I mean, they have I think they have a proper water polo team, but like I can't tell you anything about real, like regular water polo, but inner tube water polo, I'm sure it's pretty similar. So like there's five people in at a time and there's one ref, and I throw the ball into the middle and one person from each team kind of races to get it. And then essentially, like, their goal is to work together and get the ball in the net, right?
Is there a goalie?
There is a goalie, yeah. But they have parameters. So they have, like, 5 meters that they can shoot from. So the goalie has at least 5 meters of space there. Because, I mean, if they were... Because the net's pretty big. So, like, if they were any closer, it would... Just everyone would be getting goals all the time. But yeah. It's fun. It's a fun sport to ref, and people aren't as intense in that one.
Oh yeah, I imagine like inner tube. Like I mentioned, probably real water polo doesn't have inner tubes. Imagine inner tube. You can't go so fast in those. I think it might be like difficult to like maneuver in the inner tube. So I imagine it's probably much more like low key, casual.
Yeah,
which
it is
kind of what you want from
intramural to watch people trying to splash around in the tubes. But yeah, no, but it is exhausting. I mean, I've never played it, and I kind of underestimated how exhausting it would be. But people come out of the games, and they're just like so exhausted, like they just came from running.
Like, yeah, swimming is exhausting. Like you kind of forget about it when you don't like, you know, swim for a long distance for a while, and then you like get out of a pool at some point. You're like, oh, holy, this is tiring. Yeah. Jeez, I need a full 3 days recovery here.
yeah, but. Yeah, it's fun. So I do want to touch their men's squash has also started. I think the squash team in general, but the men's, they had a tournament November 5th and 6th weekend where they played squash at Queen's University. I believe that there was a lot of ties. There were some ties. I don't have a set score here. Like, it began with a 2-0 lead, but then Laurier just beat them. Or there was a tie. This is kind of confusing to me.
It's me every time we look up.
Squash.
There's a lot of... Yeah, squash is also, like, how do you score squash is a question that not many people can answer.
I can answer that because I did squash intramurals last year.
Oh, all right.
I'd never played squash before, and I went in to play squash, and I was the only girl.
Oh, okay.
But it's fun. So it's similar, if you know badminton, it's kind of similar to that. So you start in your own halves of the court, and then you have this little box in the corner, and you have to score within that box, like as long as at least your foot's in that box. And so your aim is at the wall, and there's a red line kind of like, I don't know, maybe 4 meters up from the ground around there. And you have to get it above that red line and into the opponent's half of the court.
Okay. So you just have to like, so if it goes below the red line, you lose the point. Or is it just like stop play and try again?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it depends who you're playing.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Sometimes people would let me play.
Are there like teams or is it just like solo?
You can have teams. I never played on a team. Mine was solo. But what's fun about it is that you can play off literally any wall. I mean, there's a line like 4 feet or 4 meters up or how it's probably, I can't tell you, maybe like 3 meters.
Three and a half, we'll compromise.
And then there's one right below the top of the ceiling. And so you have to make sure that the ball is from the top. But then you also have all the way to the floor, basically. And then you can use all of the walls. There's also red lines at the top too. So, I mean, you have limitations. Yeah,
isn't it like squash like rooms where it's just like four walls and everyone's like going crazy?
Yeah. It's a fun sport. But yeah, so men's squash has started.
So good luck to the men's squash team.
Yes. Good luck to them. And also men's rugby has
rugby,
been doing
yes, I heard about
well.
That.
Yeah. They just went to the OUA champion finals, I believe. They just lost. The score was, they just lost.
All right.
And from what I read, it was a pretty good game. I mean, Queens is a really, or no, they played Guelph, and Guelph is a really good game. So let me tell you the score here. If I can find it. But yeah, so I heard that. So now that they've qualified, not only did they did lose, but they did qualify to go to a men's tournament, which is really exciting for them.
That's good.
Yeah, so that's a great opportunity.
It's good for some Laurier teams to be doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Because some of them aren't. So it's good to have that, you know, sort of balance between really strong teams and your teams that don't do it. Because if every team was bad, that'd be not fun. If every team was good, that'd be boring. It's good to have some sort of difference, you know?
It was 19-28 that they lost.
Ooh, all right.
Against Guelph on November 13th. But yeah, no, that was, they made history because that was the first time that that Laurier has ever won in the OUA championship.
Oh, milestone. Here we go.
Yeah. So either way, I mean, sure, they didn't take home the gold, but they did make history for Laurier. So it's really exciting to them.
Now, 1928. Do you know anything about rugby?
I used to play rugby.
Yeah. All right. So is that a big score? Is that a little score? Or is that a middle of the road score? Like differential.
So it's, I mean, you would, so there's tries. So tries, if I remember correctly, are 6 or 7 points. And then every time you score a try, you get to kick.
Yeah.
And that kick is worth 2 points, 1 or 2 points. It's been a few years since I played rugby. But it's not worth much, but it's worth enough. And so for them to have come back from this, they would have need to get a try. 1 or 2 tries. Definitely one. And then also a kick or two just to tie it.
And then to eclipse, it'd be even more. Mm-hmm. But people who play rugby, I have nothing but respect for. That's an intense sport. It's crazy more contact than even like football, all without like any equipment or very minimal. Like maybe a mouth guard, maybe if you're, you know,
there is a mouth guard.
Yeah?
You have to wear a mouth guard.
Oh, okay. So you got one mandatory piece of equipment.
No, but
for university rugby.
It is an insane sport. Like, I mean, props to football players too. And I mean, I've never played football, but comparing them, it just, rugby seems so intense.
Yeah, it's insane. And it's like in football, you know, like there's a lot, you know, it's all built on tackles and all that. But look at rugby, you see a tackle in like crazy contact every second. And the play is always going pretty much. Yeah. Mostly it goes out of bounds, but you're always passing behind you and all that. Football, it's like, seems like 2 seconds, then a minute set up, and then 2 seconds, and a minute set up.
Yeah.
Rugby is just go, go, go for the entire time.
Because in football, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you get tackled, but don't they call tackles like more quickly?
Yeah, like you tackle, it's just like when you're like, they call the play dead as soon as your knee or like.
And so that's just a restart to the play.
Yeah, and then, all right, pick up the ball and try again, and quarterback throws or passes it. But like in football, it's so long, and it's just like the actual play is really quick, 5-10 seconds, 15 seconds maximum for a play. Rugby, like you throw it on TV, you know, nothing's else on, and it's just like you look back half, like you're staring for half an hour, it's always go, 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 go.
Yeah, rugby is a very intense sport. I played it all throughout high school. I really enjoyed it. I was in the scrum, and so like the scrum, I was a prop and lock, so you have the middle player who's called the hooker, and they're called that. So in a scrum, it's like, I think it's about 8 people, 9 people in it, each team. And so you're heading up against the other team who also has equal amount of people. And you're basically shoulder to shoulder with them, pushing using all of your force to push against them. And then someone comes and they toss the ball right into the center of it. And so the hookers have to try to hook their feet into the ball and kick it back through the rest of the scrum and behind it for their team to then go pick up the ball.
Rugby is just a different breed of sport. I think it's a class of its own. Mm-hmm. And just like, there's nothing, they're similar to it, but there's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like you're pushing to push the team back so that you have a better grab at the ball. So I was a prop and lock. So I think in the front, I think that's a prop. It's also been a while since I played, but so then you're hooked with the hooker and you're pushing against the other team's front line. And then my second spot that I played in the back, in this middle row there. And like, I would essentially have my head in between the hooker and the person to their left. And I'd my shoulder, like my arm would be up and grabbing onto their shirt in between like their legs, like grabbing onto their shirt. And then my shoulder would be pushing all together. Yeah, it's very intense. I wanted to play it when I came here, but I was thinking comparing it to, I mean, high school, there were some crazy big girls that we needed like three people to tackle. And I was always so scared of injuring myself. So like doing that in university, I can imagine would be so much more aggressive.
I know. I didn't do any of the cool sports in high school. You know, you think of football or hockey or rugby or anything like that. I was track and cross country. Those are much more my speed, mm-hmm. you know.
What, were you a long distance runner?
Yeah, I was more long distance because less people, you know, mm-hmm. and like cross, there's two kind of types of cross country runners. And I was like, you know, I think the more moderate type, because you get like people are really into running and they're all like, oh, you know, it's not a race against other people. It's a race against, you know, yourself and your mind and your body and pushing yourself to the limit and making sure you're better, you know, today than you were yesterday. And I'm like, I just like passing people.
Yeah.
You know, it gives me a shot of dopamine. Yeah. Every time I pass someone.
How were you at it?
I was half decent. I don't want to my own horn too badly, but I was, you know, probably, I went to OFSA for it, so at least half decent.
Pretty good.
Well, yeah, but it's just like, you know, there's so much, you know, but you had like, you're doing track cross country practice around like the field and you'd see rugby and there's like eight people lined up and they're all hitting each other and people like jumping up like 10 feet in the air. I'm like, oh, that's wild. And like, you know, so track and cross country, those are my kind of two things. Just much more, you know, less contact, I guess. But I also played field lacrosse and box lacrosse. So that was my fulfilling of contact. Mm-hmm. And box lacrosse, I don't know why it's not more popular. I honestly don't. Because it has the contact of rugby. It has like the skill of hockey. And it's a shame.
I don't know anything about lacrosse. So like, can you give me a little rundown on how you play that?
I think the big thing, which maybe people turn off it, because like, you know, hockey, everyone, we're Canada, everyone knows hockey. Mm-hmm. And that's puck, stick, both on the ground. Lacrosse, stick, ball, both in the air. So everyone's like, okay, well, that's too high for me. But, you know, so you got the ball and the stick with the netting, and you pass it and you have to catch it in the air and pass it in the air or bounce it. But you get it, and it's like basketball has a shot clock for box lacrosse. Which, again, I think shot clocks are great because, like, you can't go 30 seconds without at least a scoring opportunity. So it kind of keeps everyone on their feet and kind of keeps, you know, the players and spectators engaged. But lacrosse is nice. It has a hockey net, basically. But the equipment the goalies wear is, like, 50 pounds because the lacrosse balls are maybe the hardest ball in sports, maybe outside of a golf ball, maybe. But it's, like, they're full-on just complete rubber. And so you don't want to get hit by that. And these people, like I'd be in grade 10 or something like that, and you have like 6'7", 200-pound guys whipping this ball 150 miles an hour at you. I'm like, yeah, I'd wear a lot of equipment too. But yeah, you have a shot clock. It's 5v5 like hockey. You kind of have the same sort of structure of offense and defense lines. But why I think it's better than hockey is because no offside and no icing.
Oh.
So you can...
What's icing?
Icing is when you're in your own zone. So I'd say your own defensive zone. And you take the ball and you shoot it all the way down. Normally just kind of clear it out of your zone and you're scared to get scored on, so you just whip it down. In hockey, that'd be called icing. And then you'd bring the faceoff back. It's kind of delay of game sort of thing. Like, hey, you have to cross your zone before you can get into the other team's zone to stop teams from just putting it down every single time. But lacrosse, none of that. So you can kind of just like, oh, we're about to get scored on. This is very scary. Let me just take the ball and hawk it as far as I can away. But lacrosse is much more fast-paced. The ball is much harder, which means it goes much further. and crazy bounces off boards and all that. So I get in hockey icing because the puck can kind of go very slowly down the ice. But lacrosse, you whip it down the floor, it's coming back at you off the boards within 5 seconds anyways. So it's much more faster. And you're encouraged to cross-check. Like, that's how you defend. Hockey, you're not supposed to cross-check. In lacrosse, that's how you defend. So it's a lot of contact. You know, it's a lot of, and not as much as equipment as ice hockey.
So you defend just trying to hit the opponents?
Yeah, basically. Like, you get the ball in your stick and they'll try to run your offense plays as you do in field hockey or hockey or any basketball and a lot of 5v5 team sports. And players who don't have the ball, they'll run across, try to get open and set picks and all that. And you're just allowed to hit them. They don't have the ball. Like, you think it'd be interference in any other sport.
But what's the goal there? Like, I know that that's defense.
Yeah.
And, probably just slow them down. But how are you going to get the ball from that?
You hope. Well, depends, usually kind of man. Let's say man-on-man defense, basketball, hockey, it all kind of comes together. But really just, you pick a man. And as long as your man never gets the ball, you're content. So they'll be running around trying to get the ball. And then you say, oh, crap. And then you try to get the ball off them. So whoever has the ball, there'll be a defender on them trying to get the ball off them, and they'll
by hitting them.
By hitting them or stick checking and all that. But if your guy, he'll be running around the net, they'll be set some really confusing play up that'll never work. And then you cross check them. You hit them, your stick's on their stick at all times. And so it's a lot of creativity too, which I think is always cool to watch. It's cool to play, but it's also cool to watch. So I don't know why it's not more popular as a spectator sport, because the creativity you have to have is intense, because you have ball in your stick in the air, and that opens up a lot of possibilities to do a lot of weird and crazy things. Mm-hmm. And it's a very intelligent game because it's not puck, stick, ground or basketball dribbling a ball. It's ball, stick, air, and pretty much any contact, as long as it's not taking two hand guy in the head, is allowed. So it's very creative, very intense, a lot of contact. And, a lot of people get a lot of injuries, kind of like rugby. So I think he has the contact of rugby, but the more equipment, so rugby still gets that edge on him. But the contact of rugby and the style of basketball and hockey, the shot clock, and just, it's just much more, it's just much more, I don't understand. I'll say this again. It should be more popular, and it's not, and I don't know why. But for some reason, hockey and basketball take a lot of the credit, and football, especially university. Those are the three main sports, maybe with soccer too. Yeah. And Laurier's lacrosse team, it's more of a club because they're not, it's a club or co-ed sport.
It's like badminton here. I used to play badminton all throughout high school. I love badminton. I do it badminton intramurals, but they don't have a team. Just like they don't have a volleyball team here.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Volleyball, Laurier volleyball has yet to occur.
Just shocking, because I also used to play volleyball, and I love volleyball, and I don't know why they don't have a team. Because volleyball, to me, when I think of it, that is also kind of a main sport.
Yeah, you think you think of the main, you think of let's say, you look south of the border at the NCAA, you think of the big sports, they always, if nothing's on TV, you'll have TSN or Sportsnet broadcasting NCAA volleyball, basketball, hockey, football, soccer. Yeah, I consider football those main five or six sports. And here we are, Laurier, head of athletics here. If you're listening, volleyball, get on it.
Yeah, and badminton.
Oh, yeah, and a competitive badminton.
Because they just have a club on Sundays. That's it. And you have to pay to become a member of the club. But there's no games. There's no tournaments. As far as I know, there's no tournaments,
I'm sure they might have a meet together at some gym and run a 2v2 every other Sunday, but maybe that.
I mean, at least they have intramurals, and intramurals is fun.
That's good. A lot of sports that aren't being competitively played by Laurier do have intramurals.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at the list of their clubs. They have you think badminton and men's lacrosse. You think you'd kind of want them to have an OUA team or something like that. But they're stuck in the club heading for now. So hopefully that changes. I also think badminton. That could be really good.
And there's some really good intramural players.
Yeah. Too.
I mean, I'm not all that great at badminton, and I can tell when I play against them.
I do intramural ball hockey, which is not most intense, which you might think it might be intense. I thought it was going intense, but it's not, which is nice. Okay. It's just in like, you know, a gym. It's gym ball hockey. You're not going to get intense. But they, I remember last year, there's like some person who played on like the national team for some, I don't want to guess the country, for some like South Asian team. And he's exchange student here. But he was like stunning. Like he would like, if we had a, you know, university team for ball or floor hockey, he'd be captain, I think. So there's a lot of great players, you know, in the intramural program here. So, you know, get on it.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Come on, head of athletics. You better be listening to this.
Hope you're spending your Friday 5:02 p.m. listening to Talk the Hawk only on Radio Laurie.
Yes, yes. Yes. But World Cup is coming?
World Cup's coming. That's big. Canada's in it for the first time since 1980s.
That's so exciting.
That's good. And, you know, there starts the 20th. So just in 2 days, Canada's first game is on the 23rd. They're against Belgium, who Belgium is probably the better team.
Belgium, yeah. Belgium's a good team.
But then on the 27th, mark your calendars, they got Croatia. On December 1st, they got Morocco. And to make, you know, make it in, generally, they're in Group F. So you want to, there's four teams. You want to make it the top two to progress. And I think, you know, it's safe to say Belgium will get that first spot. But it's between Canada and Croatia for that second spot. And I think Canada could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch a lot of this, of football, but how you, we were talking earlier about how well the team, the Canadian teams have been doing recently.
Yeah, Canadian teams in a lot of, Canadian basketball team has been doing fairly, they've been actually getting some names up recently. So Canadian national sports, we're doing pretty good. And Canadian women's soccer has been good for probably the past 10 years or so. They've got that gold medal a couple years ago. So Canadian men's catching up now.
Yeah. Oh, that's, and then the Grey Cup.
Grey Cup also, November 20th. So November 20th, big day for sports fans. Got the Argos and the Blue Bombers facing off in the Grey Cup. Blue Bombers, I was doing, you know, some my pre-show research that I'm always responsible for doing. Mm-hmm. And they've won the last two Grey Cups in a row, 2019 and 2021. Of course, COVID knocked out that 20 season. But they won, they're looking for the third consecutive Grey Cup here. And Argos, the last one, 2017. So past 5 years, we got the two winners pretty much of the Grey Cup who've been holding it for the past couple of years. So it's got to be a really good matchup.
Yeah. I don't know much about FIFA either because I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I did not know it only lasted a month. For some reason, I thought it lasted so much longer.
Yeah, you think like World Cup, like, you know, soccer is the most popular sport in the world. So you get all this hype. You can, you know, if you're in the right circles, get all this hype about it. I mean, every 4 years, it's bigger than the Olympic soccer and all that. And you look at it, it's the November 20th to December 18th, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's all you get.
And is that it for the year? Like,
it's just every 4 years. I think that's what every national team just works towards. And then within a month, you're back trying to work for the next 4 years.
Such an interesting location, though, for this year's World Cup at Qatar.
That goes without saying. I think anytime you mention the World Cup, there's always going to be the mention of Qatar as the host. And, you know, they have a multitude of controversies. You know, they've had migrant workers and workers' rights and human rights just as the country itself. So as much as you want to enjoy the game, you know, sports sometimes, you know, kind of get swallowed up by the human side of it. I think so. Instead of, you know, not to get everyone down, but it is important to, you know, at least recognize why Qatar is such a questionable choice, because it is. And there seems like to be so many better options, but FIFA, whoever charged FIFA in the boarding vote, they decided Qatar, and the arenas and the workers and all these things are all making headlines and all that. So you think maybe next time put a little more work into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do want to talk about UFC.
UFC, you're the big UFC here.
I am a UFC fan.
Some big fights recently, I've heard.
Yes, yes, there were some really good fights on Saturday, November 12th, just last Saturday. It was a double championship bout. So there was the women's fight, which was Carla Esperanza, and she was the championship holder, you know, and her last fight was against Rose, who at the time was also the championship holder. So Esperanza took that championship from her, but that fight was the worst fight, I think, in UFC history, because they define worst. And this isn't Esperanza's fault.
All right.
Rose, she did not move. Like, I swear, she moved, but she did not throw a punch. I feel that's a thing
you
kind of
have to do in UFC is, like, yeah, you know, move and try to...
She didn't try anything, and...
Was that on purpose, or was that, like, her strategy?
I believe it was on purpose, yeah, because her trainers kept saying, yeah, good job, you're doing exactly what we planned, like, you're doing exactly what we wanted.
And she lost.
And she lost because Esperanza tried to tackle her one time.
That was the decision.
That's as far as I can think of, because yeah, there really wasn't anything that happened in that fight. So Esperanza just went for the championship fight again, going in as the champion. And she versed this woman called Wade.
Third, and then I was watching the recap of it, and then like a minute into overtime, they lose. Which is sad, because 3-on-3 overtime is, I think, the greatest 3-on-3 NHL overtime, may be the greatest invention in the history of sports, and I will die on that hill. It's so fast, so exciting. It's 3-on-3, so you have your three best players on at all times, and the creativity and the space opens up. It's really exciting to watch. So I think anyone not watching hockey, just go online and search up NHL 3-on-3 overtime. You'll fall in love with it.
Okay, maybe I will do that.
You should. You should. Learn, you really should.
About hockey. Yeah. So, is there anything else that we'd like to mention before we close up for the weekend?
Not that I can think of. I know I was talking to you off air before we started about Ultimate Frisbee, and that is also a hill I will die on. That is not a sport. I'm saying that right now. I feel this is the best opportunity to get this discontentment off my show. I went to watch, it was a championships about, I probably think maybe a month ago to the day, so pretty a while ago, so maybe Laurie's team was already covered on previous episodes of Talk the Hawk, only on RadioLaurie.com. But it's just like, it's so non-competitive. You think for a sport, I'm not saying the players aren't passionate, but it's just so wildly uncompetitive, which, you know, people, you know, Ultimate Frisbee enthusiasts will say that's why their sport's great. There has to be, like, you know, it's self-officiated. You know, it's, you think, oh, you know, maybe lay the shoulder in somewhat, but they don't, like, they get scored on while they embarrass themselves on the field, and then they'd still
know.
Go off.
But I don't know.
They'd still go off, and they'll do, like, their chanting, and they're like, yeah, let's go, Laurier, la da 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 da. And I'm like, do you have no shame?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's fair to say it's not a sport.
That's
though.
True. That's true.
Because, that's, I mean, I used to be a competitive trampolinist, and believe it or not, that's a sport.
Is and it?
It is. It is a sport. Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know?
Competitive trampoline, that's a kind of, that sounds just like a fun day at the park.
Yeah, it was fun.
Are you good at, you know, all the flips and all that?
I did it for a while, but I don't think I progressed super quickly.
No.
So I think the farthest I got was, like, being able to do a backflip. But
hey,
I
that's something.
I did get bronze one time in a competition.
Bronze out of three is always, you take that. You take that every day.
So that was very exciting for me. I mean, I think I was like 12 or something when I played. But if that's a sport,
that's fair. Ultimate Frisbee, like, it is like 7-on-7. It is a team sport. It is like trying to get the Frisbee downed and get touchdowns, or they call it. But it was just like their big thing is spirit. I think, you know, that's why Ultimate Frisbee, people will say that's why Ultimate Frisbee is in a league of its own. But, like, it's just, as a person who's, like, more used to competitive sports, it's such a culture change, I think, that I was not expecting. Because it's all, the spirit is the main word you hear. And each team gets a spirit score. And at the end of each game, like, the two, think about this in any other university, varsity, playoff game. The two teams at the end of the game, they get into a group huddle with each other in the middle of the field. And they'll spend like 15 minutes, like, all chanting and singing and dancing around and, you know, going all great game today, guys. You know, it's just, no one lost here. We all came out. We all showed up. We all had fun. It's such a culture change that's just like, think of any other university varsity sport, hockey, football, soccer, any of the basketball. Think about getting like arm in arm with the other team at the end of the game after like a quarterfinals is completely wild. But, you know, Ultimate Frisbee people, they're more than happy to do that. So I think, I call it not a sport, more, you know, exaggerationally, my favorite word. But, like, I say rugby isn't a different sort of, you know, postal code of sports. Ultimate Frisbee is just completely the other way. It's completely down the street of just complete casual and like.
I'm sure it's still a bit like competitive.
You would think like players are passionate and they like to win, but it's just like it was just the teams are so friendly to each other. And it's just like, wow, it's just complete culture shock. So I want to touch on that just because that was wild. The Ultimate, just let you guys know that if you guys are into that sort of team camaraderie, try Ultimate Frisbee. I feel that's like, and it's getting a lot popular now. It's like a lot of university teams have it. There's teams from UBC and Memorial for this thing. It was coast to coast to coast. But if you're into like hating the other opponent and not wanting to see them ever again, maybe don't try it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think after we've talked about Ultimate Frisbee, maybe it should be time that we end the show. But it has been a pleasure hosting.
Yeah.
I hope you guys, everyone listening, has a wonderful weekend.
The thousands listening on RadioLaurie.com.
Yes, millions.
I think up to a billion, actually. Last time I checked, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Did you hear that the world hit 8 billion people the other day?
Actually, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's been a headline for the past year or so.
It's official
actually,
now.
Actually, I didn't hear that. Oh, wow.
I looked at the stats, and there's literally twice as many people being born than there is people dying. Like, it's crazy.
We should stop doing that.
Well, how can you stop, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's a tough world to manage.
There's already so many people. We're just going to keep making more people.
Exactly. I feel like at this point, might as well just go, you know, 100% here. Mm-hmm. You know, full send it. See how much we can get up to. I think that's the goal here. Is just keep going, rat them
until
off.
Until the world dries out.
Exactly. Until we just like hit 15
and
billion.
And we go to Mars.
Exactly. In 15 billion and we're like, all right, that's okay. We did a good job. We win, you know, Darwin. And then we go to Mars.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe we'll see you guys all on Mars.
Maybe next time we'll see you. We'll hit 15 billion and we'll be living in shuttles on Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope everyone has a fantastic night. And this was Talk the Hawk Podcast Sports. My name's Thea Bialis.
I'm Ian Bailey.
And have a lovely night.